Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Back at Indianapolis, courtesy of Whiting Clinic LASIK and Cataract, Ben Lieber, Paul Charchian, Paul Allen, final hour of the first of 2 days of radio from Speculation Central. And joining us now is Adam Kaplan, National Football League reporter and tweeter. You can join him, or you can follow him at Kaplan NFL. That's Kaplan with a C. Last time you were on the 9 to noon radio presentation, you left us by saying, when we get to the combine, you are absolutely loaded with free agency-related speculation.
It's the same as always with me, man. Free agency's first.
Is that the case? And what can you share? Like, what's stream your consciousness?
Where do you want to go?
What's frontal? What's first and foremost on your mind?
I'll give you my list of players that are probably going to get paid in free agency very well, which will surprise you.
And if you go alphabetically, Barr will be right near the top.
Not by the team that you called play-by-play for.
Correct.
Yes.
I can't argue with that.
That's not going to happen. No. Look, I think let's get to Anthony Barr first. I think that if there's a number that Barr is willing to accept, he could come back. I don't think the Vikings are going to go overreach. Like, on Danielle Hunter, that was a fantastic contract. I mean, he's a special football player. Barr is not a special football player. He's a good player. But you're not going to, for a strong side linebacker at 43, you're just not going to pay that. You're not going to pay big-time money. So
yeah,
that's why I think more likely not he'll walk, but I wouldn't rule it out him returning.
So what about the Eric Kendricks $50 million number? Do you think he's in that range?
No, Ben. In an average per season, he's not going to make $10 million a year. Now, here's what
really?
Here's what I tell you. When you make it to free agency, anything can happen.
Sure.
Yeah. But from this team, there's no chance that happens.
Right. Yeah. In fact, when Kendricks got his deal, I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings maybe tried to work something similar with Barr at that time, and Barr and his people, again, I'm speculating, were like, nah, we're going to wait because we're going to get more. I mean, Ooh. So there may not be more out there.
He's a unique player because when he came out of UCLA, most people thought he would be a really good 34 outside linebacker, a stand-up guy, or a 43 defensive end. Well, that's not what he's played here. Being a stand-up, strong side linebacker, I mean, you played both sides, Ben, right? Did you play or were you strong side?
Well, I played both a 3-4 on the outside and his position, his exact position, you know, in a 4-3.
Right, and you played 34 with it. You played inside with the Chargers?
I was outside linebacker with the Chargers.
Okay. Oh, they played a 43 then?
We did both. In my 4 years there, I started off in a 4-3, then we went to Wade Phillips' 3-4.
And because of the sack production or lack thereof, he's just not going to get that kind of money. That's why I think, thinking he'll get more than $10 million a year, what are you basing it on?
Yeah.
What kind of production has he had? He's a guy, I think, if he went to 34, where you could use his athleticism as a run-and-chase player, that's where I think he could be a better player. Here, he's just not getting the chances to be a pass rusher.
I think, but free agency, everybody, if you are a day-one signing kind of guy, everybody overpays
you're getting paid.
For your production anyway. And you're right, the production wouldn't suggest that, but there are a bunch of teams with a lot of space. Salary cap goes up, and next thing you know, he's a $10 million guy.
Yes, okay, so let's respond to that. So my friend Bill Polian, who I used to work with at ESPN, who now is overseeing personnel for the AAF, I remember he came up with the best line ever, which no one could ever beat. You were talking about the first day. First day, you pay Neiman Marcus prices. When you get to the second week, they're filing's basement. That's what it is. I give him credit. Now, if you're going to quote me, I'm giving Bill credit. I love that one, and I totally get it.
Yep.
It's actually, for agency for me, it's really 2 days. The first day is where everyone's spending like crazy, the big money. The second day, it starts running out. You can still get a big deal. But after that, because, Ben, you've been through this. Most people don't know this. Did we talk about this? You were almost – the Eagles, I know, in your last – the Eagles actually –
my last deal, I almost – I tried out for the Eagles. I was coming off a knee clean out.
Yeah.
And they're like, maybe come back later on when your knee's 100% recovered.
Was this the Chip Kelly regime or before that? When was your last year as an NFL player?
11.
Okay,
that was my last
2 years before Chip. Okay.
So I tried out for them in 12.
Right. And Chip was 13. So it was because of your knee that you felt like you were done? You just couldn't do it anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you know this as a guy who's been through free agency. If you don't get your big deal the first 2 days, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
This is not like the NBA where second week you can get a major deal. And NBA free agency, as you guys know, goes for three weeks about. NFL free agency is 2 days, and that's pretty much it. Then you got the little trickle down.
Yep.
Yeah. There are other Viking notables. Sheldon Richardson is a guy the team really wants to keep. Do you have any sense if there's other, is there league-wide interest in Sheldon?
I think, Paul, when you look at free agency at the defensive tackle position, there it's not a great group that's available, but here's the thing. Talking to personnel directors that I trust, they tell me it's great for the draft.
Right.
Like,
yeah, crazy deep.
And for the first time in probably over a decade, it's actually strong for 43 defensive ends. So if you're a team that needs depth at defensive end, sort of developmental DNs, mm-hmm. this is your draft. This is a draft, you, not only first round, second or third round. This is historic. You typically have to reach at free agency. Not so. So when you look at defensive tackle for free agency, it is very, very top heavy. Corey Leggett's going to be available. Did you play with him?
No, I did not.
You just missed him in San Diego,
yeah.
or actually Los Angeles.
Yeah,
technically now. Grady Jarrett, he's not going anywhere. The Falcons are going to franchise him if they can't re-sign him. You mentioned Sheldon Richardson. Jonathan Hankins, who was surprising cut of the Colts, he's available. Brandon Mebane, the Chargers, mm-hmm. are going to let him test free agency, so their starting defensive tackles are up. After that, very little. Then you're talking about guys like Benny Logan or Journeyman, Malcolm Brown, who was a former first-round pick for the Patriots. That's it. So to me, or Darius Filon, by the way, the Chargers, personnel people tell me he is going to be the darling, the guy that not a lot of people around the country know about, but he's going to get paid if he makes it. He's up. His contract's up.
So one guy that is could just be a casualty in Tampa Bay is Gerald McCoy. What do you have any sense about what they're going
to
do?
I actually talked to them, yeah.
Okay.
They would like Ben to keep him, but they have to decide. This is the struggle that you have with guys in their 30s who you've drafted you'd love to keep. The money for his age group is a little bit high.
Mm-hmm.
So my sense is, yes, they'd like to keep him, but it's not definite because of his cap number. And they also have to make a decision on Bo Allen, Super Bowl winner with the Eagles. My understanding is they'd like to keep him, but they have to make a decision on his salary cap number. That's the talks that I've had with teams, guys, is it's not that they don't, the salary is the issue. It's the cap total cap number with signing bonus, promotion, stuff like that. You know, you get to a point where you get to a number, you go, you know what? When you get into your 30s, you know this. You dealt
yeah.
with this.
Yep.
There's only so much they're willing to do.
See, I love him when I was looking at the potential list that, all right, if the Vikings are going to let Sheldon go out and test free agency, knowing that we were up against the cap, we have to make some room. But I thought there could be a play with, now that the news is out that we're shopping one of our corners, if that's legit or not, but if they're looking at corner, they need a corner. If they like Trey Waynes, hey.
They need corners, yeah.
We'll give you Trey. You give us a 31-year-old defensive tackle that I think is a tremendous leader, you know, still has some meat on the bone. And I think with him and Linval, look out, man. Like, that's an intimidating interior force of your defensive front.
It is, but you have to be careful. D tackle's not a position you want to tie a lot of money up to. It's typically ends in a 43 where you want to, you know, load up. Obviously, Hunter's contract is enormous, but he deserves it because he's one of the probably top three or four DNs in the league right now. And he's still very young. But the one thing about the Vikings we should mention, they've got a lot of players, just from sort of checking into it, they have a lot of players over 30, especially on defense. And we mentioned Joseph. Harrison Smith is 30. I didn't realize that. He's actually 30. So they have to get younger at certain positions. And this draft is going to be important for them because they definitely need to get younger and need a little bit of depth at certain positions.
You think 3 weeks from now, Everson Griffin will be on the Vikings?
He's one of them where he's another 30-year-older that they have to make a decision on. That one's a little bit tough. Here's a question for you, Mr. Play-by-Play Voice.
Okay.
If they move on from Griffin, who would start for him?
Well, they have the draft, as you know. As Ben pointed out while we were calling games last year on the Vikings Radio Network, Danielle Hunter pegged as a left defensive end. When Griffin was out, Danielle went
to the phenomenal.
He went to the right side and actually was better than he was on the left. Stephen Weatherly jumped up last year, and you have the draft.
Right. So I would think it would be the draft because, again, you do not, for the first time probably in a decade, need to waste a first-round pick on a DN because there's actually depth, and teams tell me you can get starters actually in the third round. So, again, this is not typically, and we see Greg Cosell from NFL Films. I'm sure he's seen the tape already. Is it deep at DN this year from what your tape study? When he says that, D-line too, right?
Yeah.
There you go. He just confirmed it.
D-line and O-line, which is the Vikings fans want to hear.
And I want to mention this because most people don't realize this. Brian O'Neill, I think, if you talk to the Vikings, they will tell you, if they're being honest with you, and I think they are honest with me, they were pleasantly surprised with how well he did. Because when I was with you guys in training camp, I saw both of you. Mm-hmm. When the Jaguars are there, when Calais Campbell picked him up and threw him, like, oh, my God, we got a problem?
Yeah.
And he got pressed in the service. They were never considering playing him. And he really surprised them. So, quite frankly, right tackle to me, I think he's got to be the guy. Though he could play left eventually when he's strong enough. But I'm a little surprised with how well he did.
He did great, and I think he's got the right mental makeup. He's just kind of a dirt dog. Like he likes to get dirty. But you got to Calais Campbell might be one of the biggest human beings.
This is my 20th year of covering the NFL. I've never seen anyone get jacked up. Picked him up and tossed him like, oh my God. but we knew going in he was late. He needs stronger.
And he was, 2 weeks into his pro career?
Right. No one thought he'd be playing year one, but kudos to all the challenges they had last season. It was a good story.
Is Latavius Murray says he wants to be a starting running back in the NFL. I don't know that that's going to happen. Unrestricted free agent who's logged a lot of good minutes with the Vikings. Have you got any steam on any interest outside of the Vikings for Latavius Murray?
You know, he's not. It's highly unlikely that he would get a chance to start anywhere. But the Vikings will love him, obviously, back as their number two running back. And boy, did he do well! Because if you remember, right, he knows this meant did Latavius Murray not do well? How good was he?
Wait,
Latavius Murray. This is my list.
Another segment with Mike Zimmer.
See? Did he not confirm it?
Yes, he loves Anthony Barr. He loves Sheldon Richardson.
Okay.
He loves them all now.
So am I being chucked out of here?
What? I know you do.
Okay.
Do you know Adam Kaplan?
We've met. We both wear glasses. That's all.
He's bragging about your squad now.
See? He put me up to it, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Am I in trouble? Because you never come back to the table.
He sort of beelined right to you right here.
What? I miss you, too. That's why I look forward to doing two more segments tomorrow, Coach Zimmer. Okay.
Time for two more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Continue. No, with Murray, look, he's a guy that we know has had injury history, but I'll tell you what, he was phenomenal last season. Way better than I think people expected. They did well. Look, the Vikings under the record wasn't good enough, but some of the free agent signings did well, and Murray's got to be realistic. I don't see him getting a starting job.
All right, let's go back to the very tip top of free agency. Philadelphia Eagles.
Philly.
They do a pretty amazing thing, and they let Nick Foles test free agency.
When you say that, Ben, let me ask you this question. Why you say amazing thing? How would you think they bring him back?
It's my understanding that they could have used him as a little bit of ammunition if they try to franchise him, they try to get some leverage to use him as a pawn to get more pieces to their puzzle by telling him outright right now at this particular time that, like, hey, we're going to let you just be free, and you get to choose your team that you want to play for. And maybe I don't understand that correctly, but it sounds like that was in play, and they could have leveraged that and made more of a business move with him.
Right.
But they, took the human perspective and said, "You've done so much for us."
I don't think that part mattered. I know they want to present that, and I get that. Yes, they love him. I mean, it's amazing this guy.
Well, they paid him that bonus when they didn't really have to.
Correct.
Pay the bonus, right.
But the fact of the matter is, if they could have gotten a third round pick, they would have franchised him. When you decide you're going to franchise someone, here's the problem. As soon as you send the paperwork in, this is the way it was explained to me, it goes against your cap. It would have been somewhere around $25 million, the franchise number of quarterback.
Gee.
Well, by the way, they're not even under the cap yet. So it means you've got to frantically restructure contracts. You've got to clear money. Oh, and then the other thing is, if you don't franchise them and you let them walk, which they're going to do, you can get as high as a third-round pick at
compensation
next season.
That's right.
That's really, Paul, why they did it. Yeah, I think that's why.
Okay. For sure. So everybody assumes that Jacksonville's going to go after him hard, and
I think
that's probably true.
Yeah. I know it's true.
Other than Jacksonville.
Put Foles and DeFilippo back together.
That's right. They were together only for 1 year. My understanding since week one of January was that this was before they hired this coach. This is the guy they identified because they knew Philly wouldn't keep him.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys know Teddy Bridgewater. He's the next guy after Nick Foles. When you talk to teams, that's it. This is a bad year to need a quarterback for agency.
Who else? If it's not Jacksonville, for whatever reason it doesn't work out there, or some other team wants to break the bank, where else could Nick Foles go?
So the talk around the league is there are only two teams that need a starter. Jacksonville, we just mentioned, and the Washington Redskins.
Miami.
Well, not yet, because Ryan Tannehill's still under contract.
Technically.
We think he's going to move, yes. So two or three teams. That's it. Now, his agent, Foles' agent, needs to have leverage here. You need, when you're a player and an agent, you need that second team.
Right.
To get the $20 million year deal or more, you're probably going to need that second team to get it. But, again, this is not a year to need a starting quarterback. Developmental quarterback, yes. This is a good draft for quarterbacks, especially after the first round. But, man, Teddy Bridgewater, he hasn't really done anything in 3 years. I mean, he's had one start. He started that Week 17 game for the Saints.
And but it wasn't enough.
Right, and that was not enough.
If 9 to noon believes Kyler Murray goes first to Arizona, if we believe that is the case, then for whom do you believe Josh Rosen plays next year?
All right, let me answer this question this way. So I was flying yesterday from Philly to Indy, and I was checking Twitter, as you can now on planes. You can actually get internet access.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
So anyway, I'm checking Twitter. I'm like, what did Steve Keim say? The Cardinals GM? He's our starter for now. I'm like, okay.
For now.
So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was strategic. So I ran it by two general managers I know. One guy said you would only do that if you wanted to get value for that pick because they have the first pick overall.
Yeah.
The other guy said, well, first of all, you know the head coach loves Murray. He actually was on record last season doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So both guys do agree on one thing. It was absolutely strategic because you get out in the media, this pick is for sale. They both think it's for sale. Now, here's the question. Let's say, for argument's sake, you like Kyle Murray, you're the Cardinals. How far down could you trade to get him so you could still pick up the picks? You have to make that first pick available. Are you really going to take him at number one? Do you know of any other teams that really want him? So that's the question, Ben and Paul, what the value is for the first pick. I think clearly they want to move it. That's the way I see it.
Right.
Okay, so all that being said, Rosen has red flags about his personality coming out in the draft last year and then has a down year production-wise. Now it's being shopped around that he may not be the guy, and maybe it's a strategic move just to move down in draft picks to acquire more draft picks, but all along maybe you want to target another player. That still sends a bad message to a guy that doesn't seem to handle criticism and needs all the support he can get.
Here's what I would tell you, though, Ben. They fired the offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, in the middle of the season. So you have to be realistic here. The fact of the matter is that's not his fault, and you could talk all about his personality being so challenging and difficult. The reality is there's a lot more that is going on with this quarterback than just his personality. Mm.
Did we, before we say goodbye, did we miss anything big and obvious? Foles, Rosen, Kyler Murray, Barr, Richardson?
That's pretty much
it. But, you emptied your notebook.
No, we're not done yet. When the next time I come on, I'll actually give you their targets.
Come on.
I'll let you kind of see them.
Great.
We've done this segment, the draft, the lead up to free agency for 18 years, you and I.
Yes.
And I typically will give you, hey, here are a couple guys to keep an eye on.
A+.
More often than not, these are the guys they're going to look for.
A+.
So we got a little juice. Get me on the Monday the 11th before I get crazy. With
done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.